My name's Tony Roach. I'm done 18 years service with South Wales Police. After a 18-month COVID unlawful police operation after allegations were made by known criminals, South Wales Police spent, we believe, over £2 million on an investigation to find anything and anything to dismiss me from the force. Obviously, there was no criminality whatsoever. I was told no files have gone to the CPS. And obviously, what happened then was I was told to go to a gross misconduct hearing. And that was a kangaroo court behind closed doors. And the assistant chief constable at that time was Richard Lewis. And the superintendent was Gary Osborne. They sat and chaired my gross misconduct hearing. I was denied my mitigation of documents for my defence. There were 6 minor charges, nothing gross. And anyway, basically, I was dismissed without notice. It was a kangaroo court. I was dismissed for things like my pocket notebook 3 days out of date. I left work half hour early to go and play football 5-a-side for the force. And these were all minor, trivial things. Had they given me my time card, my works diary went missing, anything that favoured me to obviously conclude all these stupid charges made against me would have honorated me, and I was dismissed.
Yeah, I mean, that must have been pretty annoying. You had been in Cardiff city centre, hadn't you, actually trying to stop drug dealing going on, but it seems certain people within South Wales Police weren't happy about that.
No, I objected to a licensed premises. It was highly drug-related, and I didn't know at the time, but obviously a female sergeant had connections with his premises who had a very close association with the senior management of South Wales Police. I put a report in, the officer got moved, and this is hence what started, and they linked known criminals in unlawful police stings with Italian officers, police officers. They were trying anything and anything to get me to do something criminal, but obviously good officer. I didn't do anything wrong. And then I went through hell. I was dismissed. Couldn't understand it. But what really breaks me here, you know, after all this treatment, I nearly committed suicide, heavily medicated on medication, still fighting for justice. But what I found was the assistant chief constable Richard Lewis and the superintendent Gary Osborne, who both sat and chaired my misconduct hearing, which was a kangaroo court. I found out that they were heavily involved in the investigation. And not only that, I have also found out that the South Wales Police Commissioner, Alan Michael, was also involved in the investigation. He met one of the known criminals in a police station not far from where he resides. And this is hence why, when I found all this information out, I tried to get an appeal against my dismissal, and it's got to go through the Commissioner's office. And I didn't know at the time, the commissioner, Alan Michael, refused me point blank. He said, you can't have a second appeal, which I never had one. He refused to give me all the disclosure South Wales Police have passed to the Police Appeals Tribunal. And they said it was legal privilege. I've since written to the South Wales Police and said, well, it's not legal privilege. There's criminality involved in my case issues. And they've still, to this date, refused me an appeal and refused to give my mitigation of evidence.
Well, that's terrible, Tony. Yeah. I mean, you it sounds to me as if you've been sort of playing catch-up. So this all happened to you, and you've slowly but surely been putting the jigsaw pieces together, figuring out who was involved, why you were booted out. I mean, it sounds to me as if the criminal gangs in Cardiff, anyway, have got some quite powerful contacts and friends and financial relationships, maybe even with the senior people in South Wales Police.
Well, what I can say, Tony, is the evidence I've got is damning and it's shocking. And the evidence I've got is I would now class Saltways Police of is a very large organised crime group itself. Linking in with criminal associates, the evidence I got is it's damning. And, you know, I've obtained all this information from a lot of good retired Saltways Police officers. If your listeners are watching, I've also submitted a podcast with Sean Atwood to tell my full story. But obviously, you're not allowed to put names on there.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it depends. If what you're saying is true, you can make those sorts of accusations. I'm not encouraging you to. But anyway, look, Tony, the reason I contacted you today is because I know there are two notoriously corrupt police forces in Britain. One is the South Yorkshire Force, which was behind the Hillsborough cover-up. Yeah. And, of course, the horrendous child abuse scandal in Rotherham. I say the police were behind it because they were the ones who just allowed it to take place. And then also, amazingly, after the inquiry, no police officers were even sanctioned because of the fate, the allowing this massive crime gang of abusing young women to carry on there. South Wales Police and South Yorkshire. The one thing I noticed they have in common is this chap, Matt Dukes, who's now in charge of the anti-terror branch of the Metropolitan Police.
Yes, I am aware of Mr. Matt Dukes. He did come from the Yorkshire Force, and I know he was dealing with all those complaints, but like you said, nobody got charged. He came to Saltways Police, and he was a deputy chief constable, and then he ended up then being obviously the chief constable of Saltways Police. Now, I've written to Matt Dukes personally. I've got emails still. I've informed him about the corruption with his assistant chief constable, Richard Lewis, Gary Osborne, Barry Kerslake, the officer in the case, and many, many other senior officers who were involved. And I'm saying now, Tony, that the evidence I've got, these officers have gone to Crown Court, perverted the course of justice, committed perjury, lying to judges to get warrants to search my house. I've had three forces following me, my car, my phone's intercepted. And I've let Mr. Matt Dukes know all this. Now, he's a senior police officer, and I've reported this, and he has never, ever responded to these serious allegations. Now, if I was telling lies, I'm fabricating, and it's not, you know, I'm bitter or they say I'm vexatious because I was dismissed. I was dismissed unlawfully. Saltways Police tactics, Matt Dukes is well aware, and I've informed him, I've sent him emails and everything, and he hasn't had the courtesy of an excellent officer with Saltways Police winning loads of awards, commendations, even to respond to me. And it's appalling. And obviously now he's up in the anti-terrorist. He's a deputy commander, I believe, up there. But I've got
the Met. Yeah, I mean, he's in charge of this thing called the anti-terror branch. I don't know if you ever had any experience of them in Wales. But what happens is if there's an offence which somebody at some point decides may have terrorist implications, these guys basically sweep all the ordinary police out of the way, sweep into town and take over.
Yeah, it's and to be honest, Tony, they're hand in glove with the IOPC. The IOPC, you know, for all your listeners, they turn on, they say, oh, we're totally independent.
So what does that stand for?
The IOPC, sorry, is the Independent Police of complaints. They deal with all complaints against police officers, senior officers, commissioners, and basically they're hand in glove. They tell everybody and members of the public they're totally independent. And then when you make a complaint about these senior officers, it's got to be given to your local professional standards department, the police, and they will sit on it for months. And then they'll, if it's police officers who are making a complaint against police officers and it's criminality, and like I said, in my case, Matt Dukes is well aware of, my case issues. And what they do, they send you a letter and they'd say, under the Police Reform Act, you cannot make a complaint. Now, this is what all these forces throughout Britain are relying on, the Police Reform Act. The Police Reform Act, for all the officers, it only relates if you're you commit misconduct, silly things in a police station, your behaviour and everything. It does not override criminality and your human rights, obviously.
Right, okay, so you must make a separation between the two. You know, you can break the law, but misconduct is a whole separate thing. It's basically saying that we have our own internal rules that you can and can't keep to. But surely if you're talking to Matt Dukes, you're informing him of crimes. I mean, it doesn't matter what level of a police officer it is. They should record it, maybe even give you a crime number, and that crime should be investigated. But it seems that some of these crimes that you're talking about, Tony, are very serious crimes. We're talking here about malfeasance, that deliberate misconduct in public office, for which a police officer or anybody else in public office can face up to life in prison.
Yes, and like I said, this is the worrying thing. If they're obviously obstructing police officers who've been subject to miscarriages of justices, what chance have the public got? Mr. Matt Dukes is well aware, and the current Jeremy Vaughan, I've informed him as well, he's the current Chief Constable of South Wales Police. Peter Vaughan, the Chief Constable before Matt Dukes, they were all fully aware of the corruption involved in my unlawful investigation and dismissal. And the problem is, and I know why Matt Dukes, will not respond, and Jeremy Vaughan, it's a hot potato, and it's going to expose massive corruption again, where South Wales Police have been guilty of. Matt Dukes, he's got the Nolan principles, they've got to buy to and everything, and that's where they've got to be honest, transparent, the lot, and all he's breached the Nolan principles. I've asked for meetings with him, and, if I'm making allegations, we're talking perjury, pervert the course of justice, tampering with evidence, malfeasance, public office, breaches of Data Protection Act, false arrest. I was false arrest. There was no evidence. My wife was arrested, no evidence. And Mr. Matt Dukes, he has never, ever responded. And like I said, I speak as I find. I've got no faith in the man. And I know there was a bombing up in the Manchester Arena. And I know one officer who put a complaint in, and he also informed Mr. Matt Dukes about the system they were using. And again, nothing was done about that.
Sorry, what sort of system?
I'm not really into it, but I know the officer, I'll tell you who he is, Tony Thorne. He was working the anti-corruption unit, and they were using some system, and he warned the West Midlands Police, the Metropolitan Police, about this system. He was also he also made Matt Dukes aware, and they didn't do anything about it.
What about the? I mean, Matt Dukes is now in charge of this anti-terror branch. We've got all sorts of terrorist attacks over the last sort of 5-10 years taken place, particularly things like the Manchester Arena bomb. Most people can remember back to 2005, the 7/7 London bombings.
Yeah.
There's also the attack at Westminster Bridge, where someone drove a SUV into the railings. I don't know quite what the point was of the House of Commons. But anyway, that was considered a terrorist attack. And then there was a knife attack. I believe it was knives. Anyway, at London Bridge, in the run up to the 2017 election. Where Jeremy Corbyn was being framed basically as a terrorist. There was loads of stuff in the news saying, oh, look, he's chit-chatting with terrorists, with people from Arab countries, people from the Republicans. Actually, there'd been a peace settlement in Ireland, So what do you make of the this new move that's taking place where journalists are being raided and some arrested basically for supporting Palestine? And that is... at the moment, we've got this genocide going on with tens of thousands of men, women and children being bombed by the Israeli army. And they don't even have an army really to defend themselves with.
Yeah, it's like I said, I don't want to sort of get into that. I think it's, you know, terrible, all these people, Tone, who's dying. You know, every time you turn a TV on, and it's appalling. And what my gripe is obviously you've got these senior politicians, senior police officers, and it seems that, you know, they're aware of certain things and criminality, serious criminality, but you know, it seems they're against the law. Matt Dukes has got, and Jeremy Vaughan, they've got a duty as a serving police officer, government holder, to uphold the law. Now, they know exactly what's happened in my case, other cases. I'm in touch with a lot of other police officers from South Wales and Gwent, and it seems that it is like a two-tier police force. It seems that anybody at the top are protected, but you do anything, you know, out of hand, or you don't do what I say, you're going to be in trouble.
So what do you mean by this term of two-tier policing? What does that mean to you?
Well, to me, it seems that people at the top, you know, they're protected. You've got, you know, the last three chief constables, or the last two, Peter Vaughan, Matt Dukes, the current Jeremy Vaughan, they're all protected. The Crime Commissioner, I've made serious complaints about him perverting the course of justice. He's written to me and lied, obstructed justice, refused me an appeal when he was actually involved in my unlawful investigation. So you make a complaint, and the system is geared for anyone who makes a complaint. The system is, Tony, you make a complaint to the to your professional standards department, police force. Then what they do, they send it to the IOPC. They sit on it for months and months and months. Then they'll turn on and say, oh, we've given it back to the police force to stand out, to investigate. Then they turn around and say, regarding the commissioners, you've got to make a complaint to the crime panels. You make a complaint to the crime panels, they come back and they say, oh, well, we don't deal with serious crimes, only low-level crimes against the commissioner. You're going to have to give it back to the professional standard. And it's a merry-go-round. So you contact the Home Office. I've got emails where I've written to Theresa May, Suella Braverman, Priti Patel. Not one of them, and the other one, Yvette Cooper, not one of them has responded, because they know exactly what's going on. It's a two-tier police force, and this is why everybody is fed up of it. It's one rule for them and one rule for us. And
what about the general slide in actual police stations? We've, you know, in my lifetime, we've seen something like 80% of police stations closed down. Right in central Bristol here, we've got one of our two main police stations, one at Bridewell, and one just on slightly on the outskirts of central Bristol, on the east of the city, has now been totally demolished. There's nothing there at all, and that was a custody suite that's just been demolished. I suppose they're going to be putting up a load of flats there. But we seem to have kind of lost policing as certainly what we grew up with, which is the idea of, you saw police on the streets, number one. Number two, there was a police station you could go where you can go and talk to a human being. Now, most of the police stations are kind of out of town somewhere.
Right. My thought on this, and I think a lot of your listeners will agree with me, to make a complaint, it appears that the person making that complaint is obstructive. Everything is made to obstruct, to make a complaint. They've closed loads of police stations in certain areas, so people can't go there. They're telling people then, you phone 101, you can't get through to 101 for months. And then when you do, you won't see a police officer for weeks. And then, no disrespect, you might see a PCSO come out, and the crime's already taken place. Then you've got the other thing which they're doing now. I understand that they're telling a lot of complainants, can you upload your complaint? Well, I'm not being funny. A lot of people are not computer, you know, savvy, and they're not able to upload complaints and emails and things like that. And it shouldn't be done. But closing all these stations, it appears to me and many other people who I speak to, is they've made it as hard as possible for you to make contact to the police to report a crime. And, these crime commissioners, all the money they're paid, you see all the people in the offices they employ and everything, it's a waste of taxpayers' money.
Yeah, well, you might well be right. I mean, I just don't feel, I live in St. Paul's in Bristol, which is quite a well-known, notorious, druggy crime area. Yeah. And we never see a police, we occasionally see a police vehicle creeping along. But there doesn't seem to be any police walking around here, not even Stokes Croft, which is another notoriously criminal area. And nothing. There's this sort of expectation, really, now that the police won't do anything, Tony.
No, listen, I walk quite often through Cardiff City Centre. It's the capital city of Wales. And you can go through there 9 out of 10 times, I would say, and you would not see a police officer. You may see a PCSO, you may, but you won't even see one of them now. So, they want extra money for council tax towards the police, but I believe we're not going to service.
No, I think you're right. Look, finally, this week we've had the trial sentencing. Well, actually, it's no sentencing because the guy's been acquitted of this police officer for shooting dead Chris Cabber. We also hear that the guy today on the news, just after the trial, it emerges that, oh, he's in a notorious criminal gang. I mean, this is a statement from the police, and it isn't really accompanied with lots of evidence. It's not evidence that's been tested in court. I wonder what you make of this whole business of people being killed by the police who haven't actually done anything wrong. They're not armed, etc. And then the policeman is put on trial and acquitted.
I don't know the full facts of that case. What I will say is when they turn around and they make a statement, this guy was this guy was that. From my experience now, I can't believe what they say. If you've seen the stuff which South West Police have said about me, I was linking in with organised crime groups. I was a drug dealer. I was selling drugs. I'm giving information out on a computer. I was taking envelopes of money. It was all fabricated. And I could prove all these incidents, they were all fabricated. So, like I said, I don't know the full gist of the Cabba case, but for the police to say that, I can't really speak on that case, but from my own experience, I can say that the South West Police, and I can hand on heart and stand in the court of law, whatever, and prove that they have fabricated and lied, to do whatever they can. And what they do as well in these police forces, they try to attack your character. And, for the lone person, unless you've got, and I mean a lot of money, it's hard for these people to get justice.
Yeah, well, you've got to buy it now. That was Ken Clark back in 2011, I think it was. He got rid of about 80% of the legal aid, so it was very difficult for people to actually go to court anymore. I can just say also from my own experience, when I was arrested for helping this woman with her 5 children who were on the run, her husband wanted them all back, but the kids didn't want. They wanted to be with their mum. I was told by the police officers, "Oh, but she said she'd kill the children." And I said, "Did she?" And they said, "Oh, yes, apparently." And I said, "Have you ever met her? And have you ever seen the children?" I said, "It sounds to me as if you've just been given duff information, and you shouldn't really be running around the country arresting people on the basis of wrong information." So there you go. I mean, it just seems to me the police now is increasingly Gestapo-like, used as a sort of cosh to get people that they don't want. And a lot of the people who are the more serious criminals, that is to say, maybe involved in supporting genocide, are kind of let off scot-free.
Yeah, I'm still fighting my case, Tony. I've even threatened to go up to deliver the evidence I've got to Jeremy Vaughan's home address, because he is a government officer holder. He's a police officer. And because nobody would come to my house to examine my evidence, which I've got about the crime commissioner and the senior officers and all the corruption involved in my case. So next minute I get a phone call. Don't go up there. I was warned. And can you upload the information? They will not come near me. I am fighting my cause. And like I said, these officers who've said, like, you know, I was doing this, I was doing that. And I've even got paperwork with them. They've breached the Ripper authority. That's the authority to get Ripper surveillance on me. Like I said, I had three different forces following me for 18 months. And not a thing, not a shred of criminality. And
I mean, this is ridiculous. You know what it reminds me of? It's the police infiltrating these environmental groups and becoming their partners, having children with campaigners, even though they actually not broken the law at all. You've suddenly got one of these police infiltrators who's hacked right into your life and given you a child, and you didn't even know that they're a police officer. Anyway, look, let's just wind up on this Lynette White case, because this is something which has been about a year ago. There was an excellent documentary, I think it was made by either ITV or BBC in Wales, about Lynette White. And Matt Dukes is one of the people who has been in charge of that. I mean, that goes right the way back to the 1980s. He's supposed to have been trying to put this horrific miscarriage of justice right, Tony.
Yeah, and like I said, it gores me, and I get so angry when I hear him speak, Matt Dukes, and, you know, about evidence. He said, yes, Salt West Police, we've learned a lot. We do things better. Well, how can he come up with statements like that when he knows exactly what's going on? And I was, like I said, I've written to him and exposed serious corruption within his force. And, you know, he haven't, what he's learned, he's just learned to go along with Salt West Police. They've been doing this for many, many years. They've got, I do believe they're the, they've got the most miscarriages of justices outside the Metropolitan Police for such a small force.
Yeah, I mean, they've had these very serious killings, like Lynette White, and like the Clidach murders too. I mean, if you could just tell us briefly about Lynette White and why it's all still dragging on.
Well, it's all still dragging on because the five people, and God bless them, many of them have passed away since, they went to prison for doing no wrong. They were accused, and there was 10 or 11 Salt West Police officers then. They were all investigated, and, you know, the evidence was so damning that they were going to prison. So what happens? The evidence goes missing. And then another officer locates all the evidence. A couple of weeks later, it was stored in a warehouse. And so they find all this evidence. But Keir Starmer turned round. He was the head of the public prosecution at that time, the CPS. He said that because of all the money already spent on the Lynette White case, they're not going to have a retrial. So where's the justice in that?
Well, it's unbelievable, really, isn't it? Although I don't know sometimes, Tony, whether it's that the police are just incompetent and that they cannot actually do their job and find out who's caused these crimes, but they want to have somebody, you know, paraded, you know, in the public eye to make it look as if they're doing their job, or whether the real criminals are able to exert pressure on the police to frame people.
Well, I know there's a book, Tony, it's coming out. It's regarding the Clidach murders. And also there's more stuff regarding the Lynette White, which I can't mention at the moment. But this book is damning. And the journalists, I'm in contact with them. They've been speaking to a lot of people, witnesses, all sorts. And the comments, this book is going to be explosive. And it's going to go national.
Can you tell us anything about who the author is or what the title will be when it comes out?
I can't tell you the author. One of the authors was John Morris, who wrote the Clidach murders. But he's been working with a lot of people over the last 5-6 years. And so they're waiting now. I believe the book is with the publishers. But this book is going to shock. And when it do come out, Salt West Police are going to have to, there's going to have to be a massive public inquiry. And what I mean a public inquiry, I think all these senior officers, including Matt Jukes, Richard Lewis, you know, like Richard Lewis, now, you know, he's got a nice big pension and all that. And Alan Michael put him forward for the Queen's Medal just before he retired. And yet I've informed Matt Jukes and Alan Michael, the guy is guilty of serious corruption. So
amazing. And the salaries these people are on, the salaries that these some of these police officers are on, unbelievable. Matt is on £200,000 a year. I mean, these are incredible salaries, far more than you would expect. But anyway, look, Tony, I'm also interested in whether former police officers around the country are sort of in touch with each other, and whether there are any sort of groups of the of people like yourselves who are working together.
Well, we've got a strong group at the moment. There's 13 of us, and there's other things which obviously we've been subject of. And we're hoping now to go as a group because of, you know, what they've done to us. Yeah. I can't say nothing too much, Tom. Because
no, fine. No, that's good. I'm a bit concerned for officers that are, you know, being continually bullied and who've actually joined the police to uphold the law, to protect the public. And they've found that they've been cast into the outer darkness for simply doing that. And okay, so I mean, are you on social media or anything like that if people are interested in following your case, Tony?
Yeah, they can if they look on the Sean Atwood's podcast on there. It's on YouTube. They can put comments on there, and if they read the comments or they listen to the podcast itself, it'll blow you away.
Okay, brilliant. I'll put a link up to that, and I'll put a copy of that up on our show page as well. Yeah, Tony. But thank Tony Roach from ex South Wales Police. Thanks very much for joining us.
That's great. Thank you very much, Tony. Cheers. Bye.